All right, Shabbat Shalom, everybody. Welcome, welcome to Harnage Messianic Synagogue. Shalom Aleichem to all. Hallelujah. Now it's 12:16, so it's good afternoon. Tzahoraim Tovim to all. And today we are in Parashat Pinchas, which is Phinehas in English, like Phinehas and Ferb, right? The old cartoon. So what we're going to talk about today is something that we have lost, is very near and dear to our hearts. When, I'm pretty sure you guys have heard this, right? Somebody has some news, right? And they come up to you and they say, hey, I have some good news and I have some bad news, right? Which one do you want first? And we always want the bad news first, right? Because we don't want to start with good and then, oh, we want to start with bad, like, really? And then we end with the good, like, oh, it's okay, right? At least there's good in the bad. So that's what we're going to be doing today. I'm going to give you guys some bad news, but we're going to end it with some great news. Amen? And with Hashem, that's how life is a lot of times. A lot of times there's tragedies in life. And with Hashem, though, He always turns those things around for good, for those that love Him, for those that seek Him and want to worship Him. And so we are going to be in the book of Bamidbar, chapter 28. That's Numbers 28 and verse 1, if you guys would turn there. And we'll be reading from verses 1 through 5. Before that, we're going to recite the bracha before we start our study. Blessed are you, Adonai, our God, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments and has commanded us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Please, Adonai, our God, sweeten the words of your Torah in our mouth and in the mouth of your people, the house of Israel. May we and our offspring and the offspring of your people, the house of Israel, all of us, know your name and study your Torah for its own sake. Blessed are you, Adonai, who teaches Torah to his people, Israel. Bimru. Hallelujah. Bamidbar, Numbers 28:1 says this, Hashem spoke to Moshe saying, command the children of Israel and say to them, my offering, my food for my fires, my satisfying aroma, shall you be scrupulous to offer to me in its appointed time. And you shall say to them, this is the fire offering that you are to offer to Hashem, male lambs in their first year, unblemished, two a day, as a continual elevation offering. The one lamb shall you make in the morning, and the second lamb shall you make in the afternoon, with a tenth ephah of fine flour as a meal offering, mixed with a quarter hin of crushed oil, and we'll stop there. So Hashem is commanding his people, you guys are going to bring me an offering every single day, including Shabbat, including the festivals. So on Shabbat, there's a separate offering that we bring. It is called the Musaf that we would bring in the temple. So there were offerings also on Shabbat. On festivals, there was the continual offering and then the additional offerings for the festivals. Does that make sense? So, but the ones that are always consistent, always the same, were these. Two a day. One lamb in the morning, one lamb in the afternoon, and mixed with a quarter hin of olive oil and a tenth of fine flour as a meal offering. So if this is to be continual, he says, you are to be scrupulous to offer me in its appointed time. But there's no temple. There's no Beit HaMikdash today, right? And so we can't fulfill this at its full, in its fullness. Make sense? In its fullness, we can't. It's impossible with no temple. We are forbidden, absolutely forbidden, to offer a sacrifice somewhere else. Right? Hey, let's set up a temple here in Harlingen, right? Let's do the whole thing. Let's set up exactly as the Bible says. That is absolute sin. We absolutely cannot do that. It's only in the one place that he has chosen to put his name, that it's the temple in Yerushalayim, the temple mount in Yerushalayim, in Jerusalem. So, I told you guys we had some bad news. The bad news is we don't have a temple. Which means what? That we are homeless. We are wanderers right now. We are in exile because that is our home and we don't have it. Even those that live in Jerusalem, still they're homeless because they don't have the home. They don't have the Beit HaMikdash. They don't have the temple. And so since Thursday, we started a three-week period of semi-mourning. Semi-mourning. It's not an intense mourning, like, for example, when we have a loss of a close relative, like a parent or a spouse or children. But we have a semi-mourning period. It's called the 3 weeks. Very original, right? It's 3 weeks. It's called 3 weeks. It began on Thursday. Thursday was a fast. We fasted this month is called Tammuz. This is what this month is called. This is the fourth month of the biblical calendar. And on the 17th of Tammuz, we fast. And that kickstarts 3 weeks of semi-mourning. And I'll get more into what that means here as we go through this. But what's the big deal about the 17th of Tammuz? What happened on that day? Why start on that day, the mourning period? For one, that was the exact day when Moshe came down from Mount Sinai with the two stone tablets that Hashem had written, right? They were made of sapphire stone from heaven. He came down, and what did he find? Everybody worshiping the golden calf, right? And the tablets were broken, right? That covenant was broken. We had to renew, right? That happened on the 17th of Tammuz. That happened on Thursday. Thursday was the 17th of Tammuz. Also, when Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians laid a siege around Jerusalem to eventually destroy the temple, on this day, they were starving us out. That's the point of a siege. They're like, we can't breach the walls, so let's just starve them out. And we were doing this. We were doing what we just read every day, offering the two lambs. And then guess what? We can't go out. We can't come. We can't bring anything in. We ran out of lambs. And the sacrifice stopped. Big tragedy. Right? Then, after Yeshua's death and resurrection, the year 70, the Romans tried to breach the walls, tried and tried. And on the 17th of Tammuz, on Thursday, they actually breached the walls. And only 3 weeks later, on the 9th of Av, the next month that we have coming up is the month of Av. On the 9th day of the next month, that was the day that the Romans came and completely destroyed our holy temple, our home. But not only that, the Babylonians also came in on that same day and destroyed the first temple. Both temples were destroyed on the exact same day. You see why we mourn? There's no coincidence with Hashem. Everything is planned out precisely. So the question is, why mourn and why remember something that happened not only centuries ago, but millennia ago, thousands of years ago? Why are we still mourning today and remembering today? The answer is in the Midrash Rabbah. So we go to Bamidbar Rabbah 21:17. Listen to this. This is Hashem speaking. In your entire life, have you ever heard people saying this? I want you to irrigate this grapevine with wine. Have you ever heard that? We got a grapevine, right? What comes from a grapevine? Grapes. What do we make with grapes? Wine. So let's irrigate it. Let's feed it with wine. Have you ever heard someone saying, hey, imagine this olive tree with olive oil. Let's irrigate this olive tree with olive oil. Of course, you've never heard that. A farmer would be like, you're crazy. Like, why would you do that? What do we irrigate with? Water. Water. Listen to how Hashem concludes this. If even my creations do not require for their sustenance that which I create from them, so the vineyard does not depend on its own product. The olive tree doesn't depend on its own product. It depends on something completely different, water. Just as that is the case, is it conceivable that I, Hashem, require my sustenance, that which I myself have created? Do you really think that your sacrifices to me are what feed me, and I'm hungry and I'm starving, and if you don't feed me, I'm going to die of hunger? I made those things for you. Does that make sense to everybody? I made those things. How could that sustain me? In fact, if we look at Tehillim chapter 50, that's Psalm 50 and verse 12. Check this out. Psalm 50 and 12. Listen to what Hashem says. He says, if I were hungry, I would not tell you. For the world is mine and all it contains. There it is, right? I'm not hungry, but that kind of contradicts what you're saying here and what we just read. Because you're saying my offering, my food for my fires, my satisfying aroma. So what gives, right? If you're saying you're not hungry and you don't need this, why say my food, my satisfying aroma? Well, we look at the word my satisfying aroma. In the Hebrew, aroma is reach, reach, like a smell, like it's reach. And satisfying, like pleasurable, is nichochi, my nichochi, my satisfying aroma. Reach nichochi. So what is reach nichochi? What is his satisfying aroma? What is his food that brings a satisfying aroma? You know what it is? It's when his children do his will. When his children do his will. Listen to what the Midrash Shabbat says in 21:19 through 20. The Holy One, blessed is he, said, my children, not because there is eating and drinking on my part have I told you to bring offerings. Rather, it is for the sake of the aroma, so that you will be pleasing and satisfying before me as my satisfying aroma. It's about you. The offerings are about you. Because what is the root of korban, of the offering? The word korban comes from karev, which means closeness. It is so you can draw close to me by doing my will. I said sacrifice this, 2 lambs every single day, and you do it. Oh, now you're drawing me near to you. Draw near to us as we draw near to you, right? That's what it is when we do his will. But how can we do it without a temple, without a big hamikdash? We can't do this in his fullness. Well, Hosea, the prophet, 14:3 says, and we pray this every morning, and we pray this morning up here on the screen. You said, let our lips compensate for the bulls. Hence, not just the bulls, but the goats, the lambs, the daily lambs. May our lips compensate. What does that mean? Our lips, our prayers. Our prayers that are prayed with all of our hearts, with all of our souls, with all of our minds, everything within us. That's the compensation for the bulls. Like payment for now. For now. Compensation for now. Because we know that what we're missing is the essence. Yes, our prayers are effective. Yes, our doing his will is effective. So, friends, whenever we say no to sin, right then and there, that's a satisfying aroma to him, most definitely, right? When we don't do work on Shabbat or on festivals, and we just come together and pray and seek his face, oh, that's a satisfying aroma to him, right? Whenever we look away from something we shouldn't be looking at, oh, it's a satisfying aroma to him, most definitely. Does that make sense to everybody? It's a satisfying aroma, re'ach nichochi, to him. But it's not in its fullness until the Beit HaMikdash is built for a third time, until we have the third temple. Then we'll have the literal presence here. We have a measure within us of the Ruach HaKodesh. Most definitely, we have the Ruach HaKodesh. Baruch Hashem, that's awesome. But it's a measure. We don't have the fullness. I mean, think about this, guys. How many of you guys, don't raise your hand, unless you want to. How many of you guys, since you came to Yeshua, so you came to life in Yeshua, right? In the Mashiach, in following the ways he followed in Judaism, right? You started following Judaism in Yeshua. How many of you guys feel like, man, I feel like so much more at peace. I feel so much more at home. I feel so much more complete. Right? I don't know about you, but I feel like, oh my gosh, like, this is amazing, right? I feel the Ruach HaKodesh, I feel his presence. That's great. Friends, if that's great, that's only a measure. That's great news, isn't it? Can you imagine when we get the fullness? When the literal presence is here, not here, but in Yiddish, like, wow. It's kind of like this. My wife and I went to had the pleasure and honor of going to Jerusalem, this past Hanukkah, this past year. And it was a great, amazing. We went all over the place. And we took a lot of pictures and videos, right? A lot. We came back home and we started showing those to family and friends, right? Check this out. And as I'm looking at the pictures, and I'm pretty sure you guys can attest to this, right? You guys went on vacation, pretty sure you guys took a lot of pictures and videos, right? So you're looking and then you're showing people and then the people are like, oh, wow, that's really pretty. And then you're looking at it like, it was bigger than that. And you're like, it was nicer than that. Like, you're like, this is nice, right? But, dude, you got to be there. Like, you can't really, you don't have the fullness. You don't have the whole picture because you just have this still right here. But then you saw this and all this and all that. You saw everything together and, oh, it was so beautiful. That's the same thing. That's why we mourn, because we don't have the essence. We don't have the fullness. So that's where the 3 weeks come in, this period of time. But this is the bad news and the good news. The bad news is we remember and we mourn for what's missing. But the good news is we anticipate what is going to return. Amen. There's always hope in Hashem. Yes, we miss it, but it's coming back. And the great news for us is in ancient Judaism, in ancient Jewish writings, you know what the ancient sages say? Who will build a third temple? Mashiach will build a third temple. So not only are we looking forward to the temple, we're looking forward to Mashiach, because when the temple is here, Mashiach is here, because he's the one building it. Man, that's going to be the fullness, the essence right there. My goodness. So what do we do to mourn? There's a couple of things that we do. For example, we don't take haircuts. We don't cut our hair during these 3 weeks, right? Okay, the things I'm about to share, why do we do this? Because it's a semi-mourning, right? So we lower our joy just a little bit. Make sense? Not fully. Not like I said, like if we're mourning the loss of a loved one, that's different. That's intense mourning. But we lower our joy just a tiny bit during this time. So we don't buy new clothes. And we don't wear new clothes. Oh, right. We don't buy new clothes. Because there's a bracha when you buy new clothes. Did you guys know that? There's a bracha. It's a bracha of joy. It's a Shecheyanu blessing. And so that is a blessing of joy. We only recite those when during the festivals, when there's joy. And when we buy something new. And so we lower that just a little bit. So we don't have to say the blessing during this time. We lower that just a little bit. We don't buy new clothes. We don't wear new clothes. And we don't have weddings during this time either. A wedding is the epitome of joy, right? So we try not to have weddings during this time. Those are some examples, some of the things that we do. Where is all this though in the Bible, right? Where is all this in the Torah about the fast of the 17th of Tammuz you're talking about? And then, by the way, in 3 weeks, we end with a fast that's more intense. The 17th Tammuz fast was only from dawn to dusk. The fast of the 9th of Av, when the temples were destroyed, that's going to be a full 24-hour fast, more intense. So where is that in the Bible? Let me show you. I'm glad you asked. We're going to go to Zechariah, chapter 8 and verse 19. Zechariah. If I can ever find it, there it is. Chapter 8:19, Zechariah 8:19. Listen to this. Let's start with 18. Again, the word of Hashem Tzavaot came saying, thus says Hashem Tzavaot, the fast of the 4th, the fast of the 5th, the fast of the 7th, and the fast of the 10th month will become joy, gladness, and cheerful moadim. Therefore, love, truth, and shalom. What? So they're in the Bible? What's the 4th month? Tammuz. We're in it. 17th of Tammuz, this past Thursday, right there. And then what about the fast of the 5th month? That's the next month. What's the next month? Av. What day? The 9th of Av. You hear that? And then there's two more, which we won't get into today. There's two more that don't apply for us right now, what we're talking about. But listen to what he says. Yes, you're fasting. Yes, you're fasting on those specific days during those 4 different months. For us, it's during the fourth and the fifth month right now. But listen to how he ends. This is a prophecy. This is a prophet prophesying the future. So you're doing this now. Keep doing it. But it says, they will become joy, gladness, and cheerful Moadim when Mashiach comes. Because what are we fasting for? What are we mourning for? We don't have the essence. We don't have the fullness. But when Mashiach comes, we have it all. So we don't have to mourn anymore. Now, instead of mourning on the 17th of Tammuz, instead of mourning and fasting on the 9th of Av, oh, it's going to be a party. Oh, see that? How beautiful is that? But we're not there yet. So we still mourn and we still fast, right? Oh, I can't wait for that day. My goodness. Hallelujah. Now, we're going to turn to the book of Yirmiyahu, the book of Jeremiah. We're going to go to chapter 1. So, one thing that you may or may not have noticed in the Haftarah for today that Malak read, it's not the Haftarah, not the prophet's portion of Pinchas. This is Parashat Pinchas. It's a different portion. It's a different Haftarah from the prophets. Why did we read Jeremiah chapter 1 through chapter 2, verse 3? Because this prophesies about the coming destruction. Jeremiah was sent to Israel to tell them, repent of your sins, come back to Hashem, because destruction is coming. And did we listen? No, because destruction came. Does that make sense? That's why we read this Haftarah. And in fact, for the next 3 weeks, guess what? We have special Haftarot from Jeremiah and from Isaiah, all prophesying about the coming destruction, right? And so we start with Yirmiyahu chapter 1, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 9. Listen to what it says. Then Hashem extended his hand and touched my mouth. And Hashem said to me, behold, I have placed my words in your mouth. See, I have appointed you this day over the nations and over the kingdoms to uproot and to smash and to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. Whoa, that sounds pretty harsh, right? There's four bad things going on there. He's saying, I'm going to uproot, like you uproot those pesky weeds that grow everywhere, right? You don't have to try, they just grow. You don't have to water them, they just grow, and you're like, oh, gotta uproot it, right? To smash, like you would smash, you know, the potatoes for some mashed potatoes, right? Some good, some butter in there, right? Some margarine, right? To destroy, and to overthrow, like a group of people overthrowing their government, right? Those are bad. And that's coming, he's saying. It's coming. But look at the end. What is the purpose of me doing all that? To build and to plant. The purpose of the destruction, of any destruction in Hashem's kingdom, is not like Remember the Titans. Have you guys seen Remember the Titans, the movie? I'm not sure if you guys have seen Remember the Titans. It's an excellent movie. It's about football. Well, there's a football team that is going undefeated. They're winning every game, right? And then to celebrate, like to honor them because they're so strong and they're so powerful, right? There's a scene where they get this old car and they have a sledgehammer. And each of the players gets a turn to grab the sledgehammer and just beat the daylights out of the car. And then they pass the sledgehammer to another team member and they beat it and they completely crush that poor thing, right? Why? Just because you guys are awesome. You guys are undefeated. You guys are strong and powerful. Yay! So the purpose is just to destroy it, right? That's not how it is in Hashem's kingdom. Hashem destroys only to rebuild and to replant. To make things fresh and new. Kind of like when you haven't mowed your lawn for a while, right? And you're like, man, it looks like a bunch of weeds or something. It looks like I'm in the rainforest or somewhere, right? Let's take our camping gear out, right? Watch out for the tigers, right? And then you mow the lawn and you're like, wow, that looks so pretty. That looks so nice. God only destroys to rebuild. This is a show I like to watch. It's called Love It or List It. It's a show about two people, and every week they have a different client, right? It's usually a family, a couple, married couple. And there's a lady that all she does is she redesigns homes. She remodels homes. And there's a guy who she's competing against in the show, who's a realtor, who all he does is sells homes, finds homes for you and sells them, right? And so they come to this couple or to this family, and the lady asks, how much money are you giving me to remodel your home? And they give her a budget, okay? And this is what we need remodeled for us to stay in the home, to love it. The other guy says, how much money are you giving me to find you a new home? And they give him a list of what they want. And then this is the budget you have to get us a home, to list the home on the market so we can sell it and move to the new home. So the whole show is about the competition between the two, right? They're always competing. And so at the end of the show, they've seen all the nice homes. And then they go to their home, completely remodeled. They haven't been there. And then they come in and it's completely transformed. And they're like, oh, wow. Oh my gosh, is this my home? The wife's always, oh, I'm crying. Oh my God. Right? They're like, ah, right? And the guy's like, whoa, it's nice. That's cool, right? That's pretty good. It's pretty good. And so he's trying to keep his cool, right? In fact, he wants to cry too, right? And they're all like, oh my gosh. And so at the end of the show, they go off to the side, right? And they're discussing, oh, what do we do? That house that he showed us was really nice, but oh my gosh, but this home. And they're discussing, right? And at the end of the show, they come back together, the four of them, the couple and the two that were competing. So are you going to love it or are you going to list it? And then the background music, ding, 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 ding. And they're going back and forth. It's hilarious. It's the same thing every show. It's not the original. And then they say, well, we made a decision. We are going to, and they pause, always pause. And guess what they always say 95% of the time? We're going to love it. The guy's like, and the guy's always like, but the home, it was perfect. Yeah, but this is home. Right? It just needed to be rebuilt. It's still home. We don't want a new home. We don't want to build one in the RGV. We don't want to build a temple anywhere else. We want the home. We want to love it. We don't want to list it. We want to love it forever. And so that is the whole point of the destruction. Because he's like that lady that's rebuilding. He's taking time. But to him, he's got all time in the world. He's outside of time. But you know what? He does the same thing in our lives. Not just about the temple, but in our lives, right? All of a sudden, something is uprooted in our lives. A relationship is uprooted all of a sudden. You're like, whoa, we've been friends forever, right? You know, we were, you know, a girlfriend or a boyfriend or whatever, forever, and all of a sudden, okay, what happened, right? He'll take a relationship away, or he'll smash, you know, maybe a dream we had, right, to do something. Maybe a job opportunity that was all set, and all of a sudden it's just gone, right? We had some plans, right? Maybe he destroyed maybe he's bringing destruction to our health, right, to our self-esteem, right, to our marriages, to our relationship with our kids or whatever. But with Hashem, remember that whatever he's destroying, whatever he's smashing, whatever he's uprooting, whatever he's taking away is only to build and to plant. Hallelujah. It's only to rebuild it and replant it and make it so much more beautiful than it was before. Let's move on to verse 11 of Jeremiah chapter 1. Verse 11, listen to what it says. The word of Hashem then came to me saying, what do you see, Yirmiyahu? What do you see, Jeremiah? And I said, I see a staff of an almond tree. Hey, we just talked about almonds recently. Hashem said to me, you have seen well, for I hasten to fulfill my word. I will fulfill it quickly. So what is Hashem saying here? He's using a play on words. See, the word for almond is shaked. Everybody say shaked. Shaked is an almond in Hebrew. The word shaked means two things, though. In Hebrew, we have double meanings. Shaked means almond. You know what else it means? Hasten, hurry. It means the same thing. So what he's saying to Jeremiah is, tell the people, hey, the destruction is coming quick. Repent quick. But not only that, listen to this. This connects to 3 weeks. Check this out. Almond, which is shaked, develops quickly. An almond is the quickest to develop, to ripen. We talked about that a few weeks ago when we talked about the staff of Aharon, right? It's the quickest. How quick, though? Check this out. From the bud to the ripening of the fruit is so quick. It's 21 days. How long is 21 days in weeks? 3 weeks. Hence the 3 weeks. Isn't that amazing? No coincidences. Correspondingly, the destruction of the temple would take place only 21 days, only 3 weeks from the 17th of Tammuz, this past Thursday, when the walls of Jerusalem were breached, until the 9th of Av, in 3 weeks, when the temple was ultimately destroyed. Whoa. That's pretty cool. Sad, but cool. Friends, as quick as the destruction came, the rebuilding will be in an instant. In a twinkling of an eye. In an instant, it will come. When Yeshua returns, boom, like that. Faster than you can say shaked. Faster than you can say almond or hasten. Boom, he's coming. Look at John, the book of John chapter 2. Yohanan, this is Yeshua's words himself. John chapter 2, verse 18. This is part of the, also part of this week's Besorah. We read this, David read this earlier. And verse 18, listen to the words of Yeshua. He says, this is after he overturns the money changers' tables and whips them with the cord, right? Then, verse 18, the Judean leaders responded, what sign do you show us since you are doing these things? He says, destroy this temple, Yeshua answered them. And in 3 days, I will raise it up. The Judean leaders then said to him, 46 years this temple was being built, and you will raise it up in 3 days? But he was talking about the temple of his body. So after he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he was talking about this. Then they believed the scripture and the word that Yeshua had spoken. Isn't it interesting that Yeshua is talking about the destruction of the temple and its resurrection and its rebuilding? He's talking about both. Yes, he's definitely talking about his body because he's saying it will resurrect in 3 days. The temple of his body. He's the essence of the temple, he's saying. So he's connecting his death to the death of and the coming destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, the temple, because only 40 years after Yeshua's death and resurrection came the destruction of the holy temple of the Beit HaMikdash. His death was linked to the destruction. Now, the question is, why was it destroyed? Why was it destroyed? Well, the first temple was destroyed because of idolatry. We were big on idolatry. The kings were, a lot of the kings of Israel, you'll read, they were setting up idols and pillars everywhere. It was a horrible time. And God judged us. But we learned our lesson. We got rid of idolatry. What about the second temple? It was destroyed because of baseless hatred. Hatred without a cause. So they were still studying Torah. They were still fulfilling the Torah, the commandments. They were still bringing the offerings. And they were still fulfilling what we read at the beginning, the two lambs a day and everything. They were doing everything. And they should keep doing it. However, while they were doing that, they had hatred toward their neighbor. They had hatred toward the guy next to them, toward the girl next to them. My gosh, I can't stand her. Baruch atah Adonai. Oh, man, don't you just hate that guy? Eloheinu melech haolam. That no work. That don't work, Maria. Listen to what Yeshua does, how he addresses this in Mark 11. Mark 11, where are we? 25. Mark 11, 25. Check out what Yeshua says. He says, 25. Whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him so that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your transgressions. So when do we stand to pray? When did he stand to pray? And when do we stand to pray? During the Shemoneh Esrei. During the silent prayer. We stand and we bow, right? And it's all quiet. Right? You speak only loud enough so you can hear yourself. Nobody else can hear you, right? And then the Chassan repeats it out loud, right? That's what he's talking about. The Shemoneh Esrei. So why? Because Shemoneh Esrei is when it's figurative of us being in the Holy of Holies, in the most holy place of the presence of God. And so we're going to bring all these prayers with baseless hatred, with unforgiveness and bitterness. Our prayers are going to be blocked. They're going to be hindered, right? So what is Yeshua saying? Hey, before you pray, before you stand and pray, hey, get right with your wife. Get right with your husband. Get right with your kids. Get right with your parents. Get right with your neighbor. Get right with your friend. Get right with that. You know you're carrying that in you. And as you're praying, you know it's there. It's there. It's there. And just bugging you. Get rid of that first. Deal with that first. Then come pray to me because your prayers are going to be blocked. Like an offensive lineman. Protecting the quarterback. Right? So the lesson for us is, learn from our past mistakes and avoid baseless hatred. And not only that, friends, but did Yeshua do anything to merit his death? He did everything good. He fulfilled the Torah in its totality. But yet we had baseless hatred towards him and saying, crucify him. And the Romans helped us out, right, by nailing him to the execution stake. But just as Yeshua's body was destroyed and rebuilt, right? In 3 days, it was rebuilt. Wow, even way better. Glorified. So was the second temple destroyed, but the third temple is going to be awesome. So when we pass and those that have passed are destroyed, so to speak, when we come back in the resurrection, and when we see each other again, that's going to be awesome. Resurrected bodies. No more Lashon Hara. No more Yetzer Hara. No more evil inclination. We won't no longer have a desire to sin. We'll just want to praise, and that's it. It will be rebuilt again. The temple will be rebuilt, guaranteed. Look at Yechezkel 40 through 48, Ezekiel chapter 40 through 48. You can look at that in your own time. It prophesies the rebuilding of the temple and the reinstitution of the sacrifices. Remember, after Yeshua died and resurrected, what did the apostles do? What did the disciples do? They kept going to the temple daily, offering the sacrifices daily. That is going to continue. Hallelujah. And so, what is the lesson for us? What is the lesson for us? The lesson for us is to live a life where we will have, instead of baseless hatred, we will live a life of baseless kindness. You hear what I'm saying? Because baseless means there's no reason. You just pick something about a person and you just don't like them. Right? Why not turn that around and say, you know what? I'm going to just enact. I'm going to act with baseless kindness. Kindness for no reason. Just because. Right? Have you ever done something for someone, right? And you don't usually do something for that person? And all of a sudden you do something for that person? And they look at you like, what's this for? Right? I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. Like, who are you? What have you done with my friend? Right? What have you done with my dad or whatever? Like, I was, whoa, what the heck? Can we be a people that will just fill the world with baseless kindness? Because that is what got us to this point, is what I'm saying. You hear what I'm saying? That's what got us to this point. How can we reverse that? Oh, let's start a revolution. Let's start a just because revolution. A just because revolution of kindness for all those around us. Husbands, you know what? This week, go to the store, buy your wife some flowers. And then you bring them to your wife after she wakes up from fainting, right? You pick her up. And and you, after you convince her that you are her husband, and you say, babe, this is for you. Why? What for? It's not my birthday. It's not her anniversary. Just because. Baseless kindness. Right? We go to our kids and we say, hey, mijo, mija, come here. And we give them a big hug, a big kiss on the cheek. And they're like, what was that for, Dad? What was that for, Mom? Just because, mijo. Just because I love you. Just because I adore you. Baseless kindness. But I didn't do anything. I didn't do chores or anything. Just because. Kids, let's do our chores with a smile. We do an extra chore on top of that with a smile. Instead of that attitude, right? A smile. And then the parents are like, what happened to you? What's going on? Just because I love you, Dad. Just because I want to, Mom. Just because. Right? You buy your friend, it's like a gift. My wife the other day, she visited a friend, and I thought this was so amazing. I had seen a bag of Funyuns. What are they called? Flaming Hot Funyuns, right? They're kosher and everything, which is amazing, right? They're kosher, yeah! So I saw them in the pantry, and then the next day, I looked in the pantry, and they were gone. And I thought, oh, I was going to eat me some, right? What happened there, right? And then my wife tells me, oh, I visited a friend, right? And she came with the bag. And her friend was like, oh, you brought me my favorite. Because she knows that's her favorite. It's a friend that, you know, they hadn't talked in a while. Her friend was going through some things. And she wanted to come in and be there for her. And she brought baseless kind. Does she need to do that? No. Baseless kindness. Friends, when you guys were driving out there, and you know, there's that one person that, you know, there's a whole line of cars. And there's one guy that just stuck there coming out of whatever corner area. And you're like, bruh, really? Like, go that way? You know, but you're not going to tell him that. And then you're like, let me stop and do that. And they always do this, right? They always do this. Not always, right? Not always. Yes, you're right. You're right. Sometimes. Hey, and that's where the baseless kindness comes in. Right? It makes no sense. Why would you do that for someone so ungrateful, right? You're absolutely right. Yeah, sometimes they're just like, see ya. We want to be ya, right? But friends, it's give. It started just because revolution. And friends, I'm telling you, when that happens, what we're doing is we're giving food for his fires. And a satisfying aroma because we're doing his will, setting everything up for the return of the Mashiach, of our Yeshua, Mashiach, and the Beit HaMikdash. Then we'll have not just a little picture, we'll have the full essence. Can't wait for that day. Father, we thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you, Father, for your precious word. Thank you for your goodness in our lives. Thank you, Father, for your kindness, Father, which is always been baseless towards us. Father, never, ever, ever have we deserved it. But yet you have bestowed it upon us, and we love you and we thank you for it. Help us, Lord, please. May it be your will, Father, that we would enact the same kindness that you've shown to us, to others, Father. Who are we to withhold that to others? Father, please help us this week, Father, to be those to start that revolution of baseless kindness, Father, that just because revolution, Lord. We love you and we praise you. In the name of Yeshua, we pray. Bimru. Hallelujah.